The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Welcome to our show, Being Here.
Today's episode is a fun one. Memories, home of the Whopper.
And we'll explain what that means as we go along.
Now, for those of you in the European community, I don't know if you know that that's kind of a play on words. There is a burger place in the United States called the Burger King.
It's probably in Europe.
Yeah, but I don't know if they still have the commercials that they used to have on. They used to say, you know, Burger King was the home of the Whopper, which was a big hamburger. But we like memories, home of the Whopper, because you can tell yourself
a Whopper of a lie.
In your mind, in your thoughts, in your memories, and you operate on it as if it's true.
Well, first off, I'm Shia.
I'm Arielle.
And we finish each other's sentences.
So in case you're not used to our show or this is your first time with us, we always like to let you know that right up front.
Just so you don't get yourself upset over how
intrusive we are on each other.
That's right. That's right. Right. Inappropriately or appropriately so. Anyway, we want to start the show talking about what we love to talk about more than anything else because it is the simplest and easiest way to have you discover enlightenment.
And get into current time rather than live out of your past and your memories.
Right. And that is called listening. But most of us think we listen, and what we listen to is our internal conversation about whether or not we agree with or disagree with what's being said, or we're waiting to see if it fits some agenda that we have that we're trying to accomplish or prove ourselves right about. And that's not true listening. So true listening is where you listen to hear what the speaker is saying from their point of view. So you're intentionally recreating the point of view of the speaker.
So today, just see if you can connect in and listen to what's being said. We have actually quite a few people calling in today, and so we'll have lots of conversations about your memories and ours.
Now, the other thing we want to talk about are the three principles of instantaneous transformation. The first one is anything you resist will persist, will grow stronger, and you'll say, oh, no, not this again. You know, I thought I was over this by now. So anything you disagree with sticks around, it stays in place, because the universe keeps showing up, and if you are there for it as a yes rather than a no, it dissolves. The moment dissolves into the next moment. But if you resist something, then you're permanently stuck with what you're resisting. That's the first principle.
Second principle is you can only be exactly as you are right now.
In this moment of now, you can only be exactly as you are.
And lots of times, you will have a tendency to stop, think about how you're being right now, and resist it. And then you'll cast back into the past for why you got to be this way, and then you'll cast forward into the future for how you can change yourself. But in this exact instant of time, you can only be exactly as you are.
Right. If you're standing, you know, it's as if we took a camera, took your picture right now, and as the camera shutter opens and closes, it captures your image. And in that instant of now, you could have only been the way you were.
You know, we were talking to our friend Eric a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling us once again, he called us up to tell us how much he loves the second principle. And what he adores about the second principle is that when he really got it, not as a concept but as an experience, years of guilt and regret and kicking on himself,
blame and shame,
just left. So that's the second principle. It's very profound.
Very freeing if you get it. And the third principle is a little more challenging in that it's hard to understand it, really. It is that anything that you allow to be exactly as it is completes itself in the moment you see it, so it's no longer, it's over. So life is showing up instant to instant to instant, and if you are there for it, if you allow what's coming up without judging it, without resisting it, it dissolves into the next moment of now, and your life becomes this ongoing miracle of experience.
I had a profound moment last month during the intimacy course, right toward the very end. There was a couple that stood up, and they were just getting ready to go down that spiral of bicker. And you know when the faces get clouded and everything gets darker, and you could see that it was this well-worn shoot into an upset that was not resolvable. And the gal of the couple who we were talking to at the time, because she'd been having ways of eating that wasn't supporting her digestive system, she was having challenges and nobody could support her correctly in a way that she just wasn't being responsive. And what was really neat was all of the sudden she saw it. She saw her behavior. She didn't judge it. She saw everything about it. And all of a sudden she said, you know what? You're all right. It's accurate. I'll handle it. It's over. And I guarantee you, it is. Because in the moment that she saw it, without judging how she'd been operating up to that moment, that way of behavior was over. But while she was resisting it, it was hugely upsetting to her and everyone in the room. So those are the three principles, and those are the basics. That's where we're starting.
No, other thing, our approach is not psychotherapeutic. It's not psychological. It is anthropological. It's about observing without judging. It's about seeing the way you're operating into life without judging yourself for what you see. It's not about blaming anyone or anything else for how you are or feel. And it's quite simple. It's the lazy person's way to enlightenment. It's called listening, and that's all you need to know. I think we have a caller on the line.
Hi, are you there, Fernanda?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I'm calling from New York, from Midtown, New York.
Wow, the Big Apple.
Yay. And I have a question. You were talking about memories.
Yes.
Sometimes I have this memory of my home when I was a kid being like very serious.
Right.
That it was not like snuggly enough, and that later in life when I get contracted or serious or tight, that I feel like it comes from that memory of like always being that memory of tightness and seriousness that I associate with growing up.
Uh-huh. Okay. But what if you're completely and totally inaccurate in your conclusion?
How so?
Well, I'll give you an example. A few weeks ago at one of our Monday Night Alive, a couple of brothers came. And you were there that night. You may remember them. And one of them stood up to talk about his perspective on life. In his perspective on life, he was very angry and upset and frustrated and feeling impotent as far as being able to make an impact. And he was particularly angry at anybody who wasn't angry, because his assumption is that anger is something that is needed in order to make positive change. I guarantee you, not everybody in his house shares his perspective. But his memory of the house that he is currently living in and growing up in is going to be, because he still lives at home even though he's, you know, in his late teens, I'm certain that his memory is going to be that his family was harsh and that it was a cold environment. But if you were a fly on the wall, you wouldn't necessarily see the same thing that he's experiencing. It's projecting out from who he is inside.
You know, Fernanda, I remember times when I was a child where I absolutely took myself away from the action, from what was happening, from my family, and I hurt myself by rejecting what was going on in my familial environment. I victimized myself with it. I felt bad. I felt serious. I felt disturbed by the life I was growing up in. But that was all something that I did as a protest to what was going on around me. What was that?
I smile because now that, I mean, laugh actually, because now that you're saying, I feel like it's actually, yeah, protest rings a bell.
Right. I figured it would. That's why I said it, because you see, and that's what I thought you did when I heard that, but I wasn't sure it was a laugh. It was sort of a snort. But, you know, you're allowed to snort. The thing is this, you know, we as children create strategies to manipulate people to give us what we want. And one of the strategies is to feel sad, feel upset. Feel serious, because then you get attention from the people that normally don't give you attention. And you can manipulate them to get what you want if you're serious enough.
Yeah, but you know what? It doesn't feel good.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't have to feel good. You get to be right that you've been wronged.
Well, part of the reason it stays in place, Fernanda, is that you have a fundamental misassumption. You think it comes from the home you grew up in. You think it comes from there, that, and from a psychological model, you could be right. But from an anthropological model, from our perspective, if it's here, it's here now, not because you grew up in a home that wasn't fuzzy enough. And if you
We've worked with thousands of people, Fernanda, and what we've found is people complain about two things. Either their parents were there too little, not enough for them, or they were there too much. So it's either fuzzy or not so fuzzy. But it doesn't matter.
Hey, we have to take a break shortly. Can you come back with us after the break, Fernanda?
Yes.
Oh, great. So we'll be going to the break now. Come on back with Fernanda and with us. Come on back and don't miss being here.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shaya Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shaya's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
tune in every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. On the show, Aldana and some of today's top business professionals will discuss some of today's most pressing business issues that hold you, the business owner, back. Aldana will also give you 21 ways to grow with her list of growth strategies. Grow smart, grow profit, and grow your business with Aldana Ambler and The Growth Strategist every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time. Right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Announcing a unique new program for the quiet, the humble, the gracious, and those looking for active personal growth. Do any of these types sound like you? If so, you'll want to tune in every week to The Cliff Taylor Show. Cliff's program will include themes based on his book, Connect, which details heaven's answer to every question. It's an active show that will include your participation to keep the show and topics flowing. The Cliff Taylor Show is broadcast live every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific on Seventh Wave Network.
Awakened media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here.
Yes, welcome back. We were speaking with Fernanda.
Before we go back to her, I just wanted to mention to everybody that we have a whole section on memories in our book, Working on Yourself Doesn't Work. And it really goes in depth into how you can create false memories. It gives case studies. It's really neat. So if you haven't read the book or you haven't read it in a while, you should pick it up. Working Yourself Doesn't Work, the three simple ideas that will instantaneously transform your life. Still there, Fernanda?
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent. You know, memories are a function of who you were at the time the recording was made. And it's funny, you were talking about a cold house or a less than fuzzy house, because Shia was talking before the show about a small house.
Right. Well, when I lived up in Maine, I built a house on the foundations and the cellar hole of a previous farmhouse that had existed there many years before. And I built my house with trees off the land, and I gardened and farmed, and I did what I did there. They're talking about 35 years ago now or more. And one day, an old man came walking down the road, and he said, "Do you mind if I look around? I lived here when I was a child." And I said, "No, come on up." He said, I remember the cellar hole. It was huge. It must have been 50 by 50. I said, "Well, the cellar hole that I built the house on isn't that big. It was only about 20 feet by 20 feet. And he says, "Oh, well, I'll look, but that couldn't be it." And we walked down the basement, and he looked. He said, "Oh, no, this can't be it. It was so much bigger." But we had a well, and the well was a dug well, and it was stone-lined, and it was at least 50 feet deep. And so I said, "Well, I only know of one well on the property that I cleaned out, but it's not that deep. It's only about 8 feet deep." And, you know, to a child, an 8 foot deep well looks like it's 50 feet deep.
And to a child who's consumed with their own wants and needs, if her parents are preoccupied with making a living or making a meal, the house could feel serious.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling in today, Fernanda.
Thank you. I really got it. Thank you.
It was great speaking to you.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Should we take our next caller?
Oh, yes.
That sounds good.
John.
You there?
Yes, I am.
Where are you calling in from, John?
I'm calling in from Winnipeg, Canada.
Oh, right.
Excellent. Nice to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours.
What can we do for you?
Well, I have a question about from my childhood as well,
okay.
Although it doesn't involve my parents. In school, I was in elementary school, and I can't remember exactly. I would probably be around 9 or 10 years old. and we had an election. And I got all enthusiastic about this, and I ran for whatever. The position had no power. It was just to show us how democracies and elections work. And I got all enthusiastic about it. And even after I got campaign materials, made those up, and spoke to my parents about it, and I asked them, should I vote for myself? And they said, well, if you think you're the best candidate, you should. And I thought that was good advice. So I went into school all enthusiastic about this. And we had the election, and sure enough, I got one vote. my own vote. And I remember just being crushed by that. It was just,
What did you make it mean, John?
I really felt like an outsider, and that my peers, the people who knew me well, rejected me, and they didn't do it out of malice. They just thought, "Eh, I'm not going to vote for him."
Right. And well, you know, here's the thing. Let me give you some feedback on this one, okay? See, when you're 8 or 9 years old, you don't realize that you may be unawarely doing things that disturb people. You know, that are we always see ourselves as kind and gentle and nice and generous and loving. We don't see ourselves like the brats that we are.
In fact, our friend Amy, we often laugh with her because she's cute. You've met her. She runs our website company. She's a lovely lady.
Sweet lady. And she's always been sweet ever since we met her, you know.
And her memory of herself is sweet and cute and just
as a little girl.
Sweet.
Well, her father was a motion picture buff, and he took 16-millimeter pictures before there was the advent of the video camera. And
they came to light recently, some of the videos he took.
And so they were watching one where she was on a swing, and there was a little boy that came by the swing, and she picked up a stick and started whacking on him.
He had nothing to do with her. She just didn't, at least her image of what she thought she was up to, she didn't like it. It seemed he was getting some of the attention, so she hopped off her swing, picked up a stick, and went over and hit him. She didn't remember any of that because you record who you are.
From your point of view, and you don't see all those things that children don't see. You know, people, like Ariel was saying, you know, raising a family, being a parent, is not an easy task. You've got all kinds of social pressures on you, familial pressures on you, work pressures on you, spousal pressures on you, and then there are the children who want all your attention. And so, as a child, you may do things that are not kind, not...
But here's another perspective as well.
I'm not saying you're a bad child, John.
No.
I'm just saying that, you know, I remember myself doing things that weren't kind, and when my teachers or other students didn't like me, at the time, I didn't see that I had something to do with that.
I see two other takes on this particular question. One is that you may not have been as out there with your campaigning as your perception of yourself was. Because when you said you asked your parents, should I vote for myself? And they said, sure, if you think you're the best. They didn't even say, yes, absolutely. Your family sounds like its makeup is
a bit contracted.
Or it's not as out there. I auditioned or applied for different things growing up. I always voted for myself. It wasn't even a question. That's not something that I would ever ask anybody. In fact, I'd worked the room as a kid. You know, I've tried out for being a cheerleader. I'm sure you can picture me doing that. Mm-hmm. And I'd go like, okay, you know, and I'd get my friends, and I would be like, I'll vote for you if you vote for me. I mean, I worked it. It's not necessarily what your style was.
Yeah.
And I suggest, even though Ariel has a second idea, somewhere, I suggest that out of those decisions, you form the life strategy of holding yourself back and saying to yourself that people don't really appreciate you.
Yeah. Yep.
And so that's fine for a 10-year-old. It's not so fine when you're a mature man and are living your life and are still operating out of a belief that something like that produced you being the way you are. That can be dropped at any time. All it takes is stepping into your life and letting go of your considerations of why you're not good enough and why you can't.
And you know what? I can't remember the second thing. It came, it went. I was listening to Shia. I was talking with you. The other thing went. It came, it went.
So how are you doing, John?
I really appreciate what you're saying.
You see how, as a child, you make certain decisions.
Yeah.
And, you know, you then live your life out of those decisions as though they're true. And, you know, something I wouldn't be surprised is after you were devastated, you took yourself away from people, you were not outgoing, you proved to yourself and them that they did you injustice, you know, by not voting for you.
Well, I didn't feel cheated. I think my sense was that they knew something about me that I didn't know about me. They saw a defect in me that I
must
hadn't
be
been aware of.
Yes, that must be there.
Yeah, and that
so now you're operating your life as though you have this defect.
Yeah.
Well, time to give it up.
No,
if you'd like to.
I see it different. I see it that the lack of votes uncovered how you thought about yourself in the first place.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you something, if I didn't get enough votes for something, I'd either think, I didn't really want that, or I'd be like, you know what, next time I'm going to beat everybody in the room. Hmm. And it doesn't even sound like you were running to win, not the way it sounds like you were running to run. There's a whole difference between running to win.
Yep.
And I'll tell you something else. When I went out for cheerleader as a kid, I went out, there was football, which was all the cool girls, and there was basketball, which were the semi-cool girls, and I really wanted to audition for football, but I didn't think people would vote for me, so I went out for
second best,
and then I far and away got more votes than anybody else, and I thought, wow, you know, maybe they would have voted for me had I done the other thing. But I had the idea that I was not good enough. So it doesn't matter if you win or if you lose, it still reinforces what you think of yourself at the time.
Uh-huh.
And as kids, your perspective of who you are is really skewed. And it makes no sense to live out of it as an adult.
That's why they don't let you vote until you're 21 or drink until you're 21. Because the brain, the mind is not formed. It's not fully functional. It comes up, it makes leaps of judgment that are inaccuracies, but it believes that to be true. And the decisions you make as a child can paralyze your ability to have a whole, full, exciting life because you believe what you believed you said to yourself years before. And you know what?
We have to take a break. We'll be right back. Come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books like How to Create a Magical Relationship, winner of the Nautilus Book Award, Being Here, a collection of stories that inspire, amuse, entertain, and enlighten the soul, or their groundbreaking Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, the three simple ideas that will instantaneously transform your life. These important books will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. And attend the Kane's fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Kane's books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. Why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting TransformationMadeEasy.com. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com.
The Marsh Engel Show. Join the movement to empower yourself with the essentials of feminine power and success, and learn how women around the world are becoming more inspired, more influential, and absolutely amazing. Each week, Marsh sits down for an engaging conversation with women who are boldly committed to living their most amazing life. You'll discover ways to step into your greatest vision, deepen your relationships, and unleash your real creative brilliance. Get ready. It's time to jump into the conversation. That's Monday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern for the Marsh Engel Show on the Voice America Business Network.
The violent crime rate has begun to rise again. So what's more important than feeling at ease and secure in your daily life? With an optimistic perspective on a sober subject, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone brings you the information, tips, resources, and inspiring success stories that'll reduce your fear and restore your confidence. So stay tuned and stay safe with Crime Prevention 101 and Susan Bartlestone every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on Voice America.
It'd be a crime not to listen.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here. We're talking with John about memories, the home of the whopper.
Childhood memories and how they form the basis for the rest of our lives if we let them.
Yeah, and it's great. You've given me a real different perspective on the thoughts that were stewing in my head, and I love it. I got
to tell you one more. When I was in about second grade, I had a teacher. Her name was Miss Jennings. And maybe it was Mrs. Jennings. I don't remember that. Jennings. In any event, she asked who knew how to cook. And, you know, second grade, I had my hand up in the air. I can cook. And she says, what do you cook? I said, I know how to make eggs. And she says, no, you don't. I said, yes, I know how to make eggs. No, you don't. You know how to prepare eggs. Only a chicken can make an egg. Ugh. I never participated in that classroom again, and I never really participated in school again. But years later, I realized that I was a little, you know, hellion. And she got me back for something I didn't even realize I had done.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, John.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm clear I was not the nicest of kids, but I thought I was.
I was reading Working on Yourself Doesn't Work today, you know, looking at the memory section. There's a really cool quote in there, and we wrote it. The quote says, if you believe your version of the past, your life will be built on lies.
There you go. I like that. That's a good quote.
So you know what? Even if your take is accurate, so what? It was recorded by an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old or a 7-year-old, you know?
And look, forgive your parents for telling you to vote for yourself.
Oh, I thought that was good advice.
I know, but I'm...
Yeah, it would have been embarrassing if they posted it and it would have been a big zero.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad I took their advice.
Yeah. Good. Hey, thanks for calling in today.
I love you guys. Thank you so much. That was awesome.
Yeah,
love your show.
Great speaking with you. That was fun. Hey, everybody, just 2 days until our course
in Cambridge.
England. Yippee. Shall we say Cambridge? Can I kind of sound like I belong? I should be practicing. Mena, we are here. Very excited. That's money, success, and happiness. Wealth is a lifestyle. And next week, we're in London at the London College of Spirituality meetup group on Friday night on the 23rd. We're doing Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, Instantaneous Transformation in the 21st Century. And then we'll be back. We'll be back to New York. We have another caller. Shall we take him?
Yes, please.
All right. Speaking of New York, Mr. Adam.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hi.
Hi.
On the topic of memories.
Yes, sir.
One of the memories that I remember...
that's part of having it be a memory. If you didn't remember it, it wouldn't be a memory, I guess.
Right. It's something that happened to me in high school.
Okay.
I had a friend who I became really close with, and I was hurt because I found out that she was, like, a very big liar. Like, she lied about everything.
Wait. Let me stop you for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't hurt because she was a liar.
Yes.
You hurt yourself with the fact that she was a liar.
Yes.
So
that's true.
You did that. She didn't do that.
Absolutely.
But I bet you were saying to yourself that she caused your pain.
Absolutely. Well, I hated myself for falling for for the lies that she told.
Well, she told lies. You know, here's the thing. People lie. They feel insecure, and for whatever reason, they don't tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you something. To the degree that you hated yourself for falling for her lies, I think it's to the degree that you're not going to want to see you lying. And I'm not talking
Absolutely.
About lying to other people. I'm talking about lying to yourself.
What do you mean?
Well... But you could say, you can join a gym to tell yourself that you have an intention to get fit. But joining the gym and paying the money isn't the intention to get fit. That's just joining a gym so you can tell yourself you have the intention to get fit.
Right.
And then you don't necessarily go, or you say, okay, great, I'm going to go 3 times a week, and you find it... you know, months later or weeks later, and you haven't been there in a while, and there's always a reason, then there's a level of dishonesty with yourself, but you're not being honest with yourself that, you know, you're not telling yourself the truth. Did that make sense to you?
Yes.
Did that ring a bell?
Yeah, because I'm going to the gym.
Yeah.
But I'm not going for it. You know,
but
excellent.
That's perfect. Well, here's the thing. Why do anything, Adam, half-ass? Why
right.
do anything at less than your total self and your self-involvement? And see, here's the thing. Life is incredibly satisfying when you're giving whatever you're up to 100%. But if you're not really participating in your own life because of some stories you've told yourself about you based on your childhood memories,
mm-hmm.
that undermines your ability to have a brilliant life in this moment.
I remember Shai and I once were going to a gym about a half an hour from here. It was the closest one there was. We're kind of out in the boonies. And there was a woman there on a stationary bike, and she was bicycling. But she had her magazine in front, and she was bicycling so slowly that if she were on an actual bike, I could have walked faster than she was riding.
She would have fallen over.
She absolutely would have fallen over.
She could gain weight riding that bike.
But I guarantee you she had a story that...
She worked out that day.
Yes, and exercised as much as I... And her memories, exercised as much as I did. I just couldn't lose.
Right.
So when you say you're not going for it, that kind of... Yeah, I can see that.
Right. Because I've said that I wanted to go 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm only going on I have twice a week is with the trainer, and I've only gone with the trainer. I think I went once, three times, you know, where I went on a Sunday.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a workout. It was just, I went on the treadmill for a couple minutes, like 20, 30 minutes.
Well, but you can't underestimate that you gave yourself the 20 or 30 minutes. See, you use that to justify making yourself wrong. This is the same way as you hurt yourself with the lies your girlfriend in high school said to you. But then again, you're lying to you, and you're going to hurt yourself with that now.
You know, the interesting thing, Adam, is our doctor told us the main thing is walking half an hour a day. It doesn't matter. You know, so if you did that, that actually constitutes exercise. The other thing is what you're learning is your the way you work best. If the way you work best is to work out with a trainer and you want to work out 3 days a week, then you better make some extra money so you can go in with a trainer 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you don't want to work out 3 days a week, don't lie about it.
Right.
Work out two and be honest about it with yourself.
Yeah, I'm guaranteeing myself I'm going to work out two and we'll see what else happens.
Right.
Because otherwise you set yourself up to be disappointed in yourself. Or find a workout buddy. Because you're a person who can be very on time and very responsible and responsible to somebody else, but when you have to be responsible to yourself right now, it sounds like you're letting things slide.
Right. Well, that's the other thing is that I'm working with my friend Evan. We're working out together.
Uh-huh.
So we're splitting the costs and we're going together.
That's great. But,
yeah, it is. But I feel like sometimes we feed each other. You know, if we both don't want to go, then it doesn't happen.
Well, You're going to discover as you go along, Adam, that the only thing that you have of value is your word.
Right.
And if you learn how to keep your word with yourself and others, then life will be very satisfying. But if you break your word with yourself enough, you won't be able to trust you. And if you don't trust you, nobody will trust you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, then you never get anything done in life.
Right.
Because if you say you're going to do something and you don't do it, well, hell's bells, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're constantly berating yourself for not doing what you said you're going to do. That's a hell of a way to go through life.
Yes.
The other thing is, I can't remember who was telling me after the last weekend workshop where you were there, Adam, but somebody was talking to us either via email or on the phone. I think it was on the phone, talking about how much they enjoyed you and enjoyed your presence and what a difference that you make. And I feel like you have one foot in the I still want to be a kid camp and because you're 19 and one foot in the years old and one foot in the
grown-up
camp. And at some point you're going to have to choose.
Yeah, I think that's true.
You know, and I saw you when some of your high school friends came to a Monday night not too long ago, and you're not enjoying that kind of behavior anymore.
No.
And, you know, you can always talk with your friend Evan and say, hey, let's do this something different. If we're going to do it, let's really go for it so that we end up walking out every single time feeling like we're winners and that we're good and we're capable and that our bodies are working for us.
Right.
Cool. Hey, thanks for calling in today, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you.
Lovely speaking to you.
Great to speak to you, too. I love the show.
Thanks. Hey, we'll be back shortly. Come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Kane's online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here. Write comments on the Transformational Moments blog and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. That's transformationmadeeasy.com, the Excellence Club.
Are you tired of the government squandering your tax dollars on bailouts and overpaid bureaucrats? On Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Mike Beitler and his guests explain why big government regulations are the problem and innovative businesses and free markets are the solution. Listen to Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Business Network.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here. I have a question for everybody out there. Has it ever occurred to you that your favorite stories, good or bad, you're not actually telling a story of what happened? You're telling a version of what you told the last time you told the story? So Shia had his story today about his Mrs. Jenkins. Jennings, thank you. I had mine about cheerleading. John had his
about going for a class office,
etc. You had Fern's house, and you had Adam's girlfriend
who lied.
That's not the first time any of us told those stories. So we're not just telling something that happened all those many years ago. We're telling a version of what we told the last time and the time before that and the time before that. You have no idea if it's anywhere resembles anything of what
the truth.
Because you've embellished it and rewritten and rescripted and edited and articulated. So
it's like, kind of like playing post office.
Yeah, that's why we call the show Being Here, not Being Back There.
Right. Being here, this is all that counts, this moment. We have another caller, though.
Yes, let's take her.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. It's Christina from Clifton, New Jersey.
Clifton, New Jersey.
I like it. We're making our way around.
That's right. So I recently started seeing somebody. We've been going out for a little while now.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a recurring memory or a thought that I keep remembering. I used to, like several years ago, maybe around 6 or 7 years ago, I was engaged to be married.
Right.
And I keep going, I keep thinking about that person. Not
right.
Real, like, not a lot, but.
Great. I'm so glad to hear that.
Why?
Because here's, you ready?
Yeah.
You let that person into your heart far farther than anybody else. And all the people you've dated between that individual and the fellow you're dating now didn't encroach on that place where you had given away your heart because you thought you were going to spend the rest of your life with that person.
Right.
So basically what's happening is with the fellow you're dating now, your being with him is starting to fill the spaces where the disappointment from that guy lived.
Okay.
So it sounds like a good thing to me.
Yeah, I mean, this relationship is definitely better. I mean, I, you know, it's been.
Yeah, but what Ariel's saying is that it sounds like a good thing that these memories are coming back to be completed.
Yeah.
If you don't resist them and you don't make them mean like, oh God, what if this relationship goes that way?
Yes.
Well, it's not going to go that way.
Right, it'll go the way it goes.
Yeah, but it's a totally different person. It's a totally different dynamic.
It's a totally different you.
Yeah, that's true. That's cool.
You know, and it's like, I know they're similar. They're both men.
Yes.
That's enough. Your mind will overlap a memory with what's currently happening. But the more you relax and you keep being here with your new fellow, give us his first name so I can stop saying fellow.
His name is Ken.
Okay. So the more you allow yourself to be with Ken, the more that guy will fall away.
Right.
Right, because no two things can occupy the same Christina at the same time.
Right. Great.
Unless you're using that guy to go away when things get uncomfortable.
Okay.
I like that. You know, you may want to play a game, Christina, to take a look at if...
What triggers that fellow.
Okay.
I mean, Sean and I do this show from the office, but we also do a lot of our consulting from our home and office. And if all of a sudden, while we're speaking to somebody, I think, oh, gosh, I should check emails, or Shai thinks, let me go tie a fly, rather than thinking, oh, well, what's wrong with me, we stop and take a look at what the person just said or what just happened that drove us out of the room or what we're not seeing or what's not being addressed. So rather than thinking that this is a bad thing, maybe there's just something you haven't caught that's driving you into
maybe,
the old.
Maybe there's something similar, like a dynamic that's similar enough to remind you of what happened before. And maybe it's time to complete that dynamic.
Okay. I get a little nervous about that, but I'll, yes. I guess I consider the dynamic to be a bad thing.
Yeah, well, it's a dynamic. It isn't bad, it isn't good. It's just something that, for instance, you could, in order to keep this relationship alive,
yeah,
diminish yourself and your truth and be less than you are so that you don't lose Ken.
Right.
But I believe that's what caused you problems in your last relationship that you almost got engaged or you were engaged in.
Yes.
That you played the shrink to fit game where you tried to become a smaller version of you to keep it intact.
Rather than be honest with what works for you and doesn't, and communicate and keep things open and honest so that anything can be talked out. You know, there's a fellow who came to last workshop we did.
Intimacy
workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a very profound experience of the second principle and of listening. And he realized that his whole life shifted in his listening to his wife speak to him. A very different thing. And by merely listening, it was enough to handle a lot of what had in the past been dramatic difficulties between them.
And they were able to have conversations rather than fights, and nothing was dramatic.
So there's nothing that needs to get dramatic if you have a point of view and you need to voice that point of view. Otherwise, you'll find yourself diminishing yourself and your worth. Then you need to speak.
Okay.
And here's the thing, don't be afraid. This dynamic is going to come back. It doesn't matter who you're with.
Look, it doesn't matter because, you see, people have been raised in environments where learning to be honest and tell the truth is not the normal environment that most of us have lived in. And people do things that are not necessarily in their best interest or the interest of their partner. And if they don't get called on it, they keep doing it.
Right.
The other thing, I think when you get nervous, you're going to want to pull back. I think if we go, there's something with all four of the callers today where that seems to be a theme. And I'll tell you something, go for it. Go for broke. Express yourself. Step out. Don't use your memories as a justifier for being careful.
Because if you're careful, the relationship won't work.
If you're careful, it's sure to not work. And if you go for it, you cannot blow it. You just can't. If you really give it everything, you're going to feel alive one way or another.
That's great. I love that.
I say that for...
Yeah, for everyone out there, you know.
And I know that you're coming with Ken to Creativity and Intuition. So if you want to meet Christina in person and see how well she's doing, she's one of the most vibrant people I know, come join us. It's the end of July in New York City, July 30th, 31st, and August 1st. And we're ending the show. Oh, my goodness. It's been lovely speaking to you, Christina.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thanks
for
calling in today.
And
thanks, everybody, for listening. Share the show. Makes a difference. Come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.